things in each one this morning. What a tremendous joy to be with you all. Thank you, Brother James, for that foundation, those thoughts on Gaius there, and just several scriptures there that really blessed me in that little book that John wrote. It's close to the book I have on my heart this morning. We're going to be reading out of 2 John some, but it's a beautiful testimony that we have of Gaius there. We truly do. Why don't we all stand? Seems like be a blessing here to have a word of prayer. Thank you for that. Why don't we bow and have a word of prayer? Father, we bow our lives, O God, the goodness that each one has received of you. How can we be grateful enough, Lord? How can we receive this? How can we pass it on, Lord? What can we do with all of that we've received of you? Father, we thank you for each and every one that is here. Lord, I pray that you would sanctify our hearts. I pray you would sanctify my life, my words, my thoughts. Sanctify this word to us, Lord. Set it apart for us. Help us to help me to bring understanding and clarity to your thoughts, Lord. Lord, the sheep of your pasture here are special, very, very special. We just pray, especially for them and for us as we're together, Lord. Would you open up heaven and speak to us? Give us something, Lord, that can bring us closer to each other and closer to you, that can further establish us, Lord. We're looking to you, Father, in faith and trust. Thank you for this time. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, I'd like for us to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. We have a scripture here that I'd like to share. It says, but as touching brotherly love, it's amazing how Paul says this, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. Paul's saying, well, you don't even need that I talk about it. He says, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Those are amazing words. How does God teach us? How do we learn from God how to love? Does anyone have any thoughts? I think the message is that we're to love others the way God loves us. The way God loves us, we're taught to love others. Paul's saying, you don't even need that I talk to you about it. You're taught of God how to love. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Let's turn to verse 32 there. It's another interesting passage here. We'll start in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And then Peter continued to speak into his life. But the burden that we have this morning is strengthen thy brethren. And I would like for us to specifically take this message in the context of the brotherhood here. I know that this could go out at large, and I think there's things here that could be used for brothers that are not part of this brotherhood, and we're not trying to be, our heart is not to be exclusive. But I would like for this morning for each of us to have the opportunity that I've had in seeking the Lord and having this burden laid on my heart. I would like for us to take these thoughts and to, how can we say them, to just be able to examine, that God will give us the grace to examine our own life with some of these things here this morning. Strengthen thy brethren. I'd like for us to, sometimes the brotherhood is made so big in the hearts and minds of people that it doesn't really mean anything to anyone. And so I'd like for it to be specific here this morning, to at least to start with us as brothers here. Strengthen my brethren. Strengthen my brothers. Brothers, I'm not sure if there's anything more mature that can come from a believer than it is to have a brother that can build up, that can strengthen every brother. As I've considered it, I'm not sure that's maturity for sure, brothers. It is maturity to be able to take the Word of God, not just spiritually, but in every way, to be able to build up, to be able to encourage, to be able to strengthen every brother. And I do think that it's a need we have, brothers, in our midst. It's a need I have. It would be easy for us to share. It's not really what I wanted to say. We could spend the next year preaching messages on all the things that are in brothers' lives and all the reasons why we should not build them up, why we should not strengthen our brother. But we have here a simple command from the Lord Jesus, and he just says these words in passing. And he doesn't really say, well, brother, in your spare time, if you get a chance, go ahead and do a little something nice for someone. When you see the way it's written here, it's one of the things he commissions us to do. Build up, strengthen thy brother. And brother, bear with me today, brothers and sisters. I want my thoughts and my heart to be sanctified with God's heart, and I don't want to say things that are anything but doing this very thing that I'm preaching on here today. I do want to strengthen and build up as best I can. But it seems like somehow in our carnal nature, there's a fear when someone is prospering, even in just one area of his life, when someone is growing spiritually, when someone is doing, even financially, or when someone has children that are doing well. It seems like there's something in our carnal nature that is challenged by that. And our tendency is to, without realizing it, have things in our heart that start despising that brother. We would never say it, and I'm convinced many times those things are there and we don't realize they are. So I would like for God, as he already has my heart, I would like for God to have the freedom to try our hearts today. And I would like for the brother leading out with the singing to think about a song of invitation. I do feel like I need to be the first, but I do feel like we want to give an opportunity today to respond to God. What is it, brothers? What is it about our mindset? What is it about how we look at our brother? What is it that keeps us from, when we see him prospering, to be able to just add to it and to multiply it and to make it grow? What is it in our heart and life that keeps us from doing that for our dear brother? One of the things that we one of the keys I feel is we don't understand that when we help our brother do well, we're helping ourselves. And it seems like many times we don't see it that way. When I help my brother prosper, who's going to benefit from that more than me? Or my sister? It's the same thing. I was almost moved to tears as I thought of David and Jonathan as an example we could go to. Jonathan was the next king. He had every right to the throne, to the king of Israel. That example of how there was someone else that God called to take that place. And Jonathan recognized it immediately, and he helped build David up. He helped strengthen David. He was for David, almost like no one else in all of David's life. That is an example, brother and sister, that I would like to lay before us. And as I do, and God brings different brothers to your heart, I would like for us to be able to be honest. Can I do that for my brother, for each of my brothers? Can I truly strengthen my brothers? I'm not talking here today about putting up with sin. I'm not talking about putting up with things that are clearly sin in the Bible. But we have, may God help us, in my life and with the things I hear said and the way that brothers here are treated. Brothers, I want us all to consider these things. Can we hear Jesus Christ? Can we hear His words today? And can we at least open our heart? Can we at least put a desire there? If we're not doing this, maybe we don't know how. Can we at least open our heart to the desire? Can we commit to move in this way? Can we commit to having more honor and reverence for our brother? Can we commit to allowing God to lead us and to develop this in our life? Strengthen thy brethren. Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that we will be shocked when we someday realize how somehow we among ourselves have kept ourselves down. We've kept ourselves weak. We've kept each other from prospering. I'm afraid that we will be terribly ashamed on the day when we see how we've done this to each other. It can be in many ways that we do this. And I know that there's no way that I'm not a real gifted teacher, and I don't have a way of laying all of this out in a perfect way and persuading you today. I trust God will help bring some understanding to us. Let's continue to examine what is in our heart, and maybe we will a bit later. What is it, brothers, that keeps me from wanting to see my brother build up, my brother prosper in the Lord, spiritually, physically, even with money? What is that thing in my heart? It's something we hardly ever hear anyone stand up and confess. You know, brother, I just realized in my heart I did not want you to prosper. We never hear it talked about much. We don't hear it confessed. But what is it? I had to think of the verse that Brother James read this morning. And I talked about Diotrephes wanting to have the preeminence. And brothers and sisters, it is an easy thing to have in our heart. And we all need it. To be noticed, to be recognized, to be loved and accepted. Every human has that need. We do. But when we fulfill that need by putting others down or in the wrong way, it destroys and it hurts. It really does. Let's not do that, brothers. When he says here, follow not that which is evil, I was just so blessed with the foundation that Brother James laid here this morning for what I had on my heart. Galatians 5:26 says, let us not be desirous of vainglory. Vainglory. Provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, what is vainglory? Does someone have a thought? What is empty glory? What is vainglory? It's a branch of pride which makes men refer all they have or can do to show their own private glory and advancement. This vainglory, it's especially evil, like envy, it's especially evil and it's especially destructive because it feeds on the good in other people. It's when there's envy in my heart, it's fed and grows from the good in someone else. When we see the good in someone else, my envy is fed and it grows. Think of that, brothers. Think of that principle. Think about how destructive that really is. It feeds on the good in others. Envy does. It feeds on the most excellent things in my brothers and sisters. Well, he's doing pretty well there. Let me see how I can, what can I do? We don't say those things. But it is an attitude that is so easy to allow in our heart. And I've had it in my heart, brothers. Maybe I still do. I pray that God will help me. It depreciates my brother and sister. It brings them down instead of builds them up. But brothers, can we see what happened when Jonathan and David, can we just look at that relationship? What happens to your heart when you think of Jonathan and David and their relationship? It is amazing. Think of each one of us doing that to each other, building each other up and strengthening each other the way Jonathan and David did. The way I had to think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he restored Peter. Peter thought he had blown it. He had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And God restored him. Many other vices feed on evil. Envy and jealousy feed on that which is good. That makes it that much harder to figure out. It makes it that much harder to pin down because it's like a snake in the grass. When you think you have it, it completely turns and it appears to be something godly and something good. But it feeds on good. That's what makes it ever so evil. And God hates it. In His Word. God has so much to say about envy and jealousy in His Word. And instead, let us find contentment with the way God has made us. Let us find contentment with where we are with God. And let us find the grace of God to build our own lives up spiritually and to build others, to build our brother. Strengthen thy brother. Interesting passage here in Matthew 7. Why don't we all stand for a little bit? Would you with me? Seems like that would be a blessing. It's really interesting to me here. We all know how chapter 7. We all know how this chapter starts out, and this verse is taken out of context. Judge not, that ye be not judged. And people use that scripture. But look at the context it is here. It's talking about our relationship with our brother. That when Jesus says this, judge not your brother the way you don't want to be judged, is what he's saying here. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how will thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Now, the message today is not that we can never go to our brother. And our message is not that our brother that is losing his way is just to be left and go his own way. We're responsible to receive our brother and to also minister to our brother. But the message today is an overall burden that me first and that God would help all of us learn to build up, learn to strengthen. And we're going to share some of these practical things here later on. The message from the Lord Jesus today is strengthen, my brother. If we all did that to one another, I can only imagine. While you're still standing, I'd like to just read Leviticus 19:9. Then I'll have you sit. But it's kind of the Old Testament law on relationships a bit with our brother, if you would. And I probably may not say a whole lot on some of this, and yet I have a couple of accounts I might share here today with some of these. So, out of Leviticus here, that kind of go with some of so it kind of goes with some of the scriptures I have here in Leviticus. So, Leviticus 19, verse 9. It says, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field." Why would God be telling him here to leave the corners of the field? It's interesting. "Neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest." In other words, when you get done harvesting, if there's still some out there, you leave it for your fellow man, for your possibly your brother. "And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard. Neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger." And he says, "I am the Lord your God." That is amazing the way he says that. "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning." Look at what he's saying. "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear the Lord, shall fear thy God. I am the Lord." It just puts extra emphasis on what is said when he says, "I am the Lord." It is God that is saying this. "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." You can be seated. There's some amazing truths in these scriptures. "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord." There's a couple accounts here that I'd like to share. One day in the presence of a pious tanner, some people were tearing their neighbor's characters to pieces. Dietrich, the tanner, was silent. "You say nothing," said they. "You see," replied he, "I am a little like a bankrupt man. He may be engaged in the most animated conversation, but I have always remarked when the subject turns upon bankruptcy, he is suddenly dumb. I am too bankrupt. The defects you are just reproaching your neighbors for, I will find in myself so much I find them in myself that I cannot talk about my neighbor." And I thought that was interesting. Here's another account. "One night, I remember it well, I received a severe lesson on the sin of evil speaking. Severe I thought it then, and my heart rose in anger against him who gave it. But I had not lived long enough in this world to know how much mischief thoughtless talk may do, and how often it happens that great talkers run off from the straight line of truth. I was talking very fast about some female relative of mine who did not stand very high in my estimation, and was about to speak further of her failings of temper. In a few moments, my eyes caught a look of such calm and steady displeasure that it stopped me short. There was no mistaking the meaning of that dark speaking eye. It brought the color to my face and confusion and shame to my heart. I was silent for a few moments when Joseph John Gurney asked very gravely, "Dost thou not know anything good to tell us of her?" I did not answer. The question was more seriously asked. "Think, is there nothing good that thou can tell us of her?" "Oh yes, I know some good things, certainly, but would it not have been better then to relate these good things than to have told us that which must lower her in our estimation? Since there is good to relate, would it not be kinder to be silent on the evil? Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, thou knowest." Brothers and sisters, strengthen my brothers. If we can see, if we could just get a glimpse for the many blessings that we will receive by blessing our brother, I pray that God would give us. You brothers are doing this here today. I do want to say, this message is not a rebuke. This message is an encouragement for us to continue on. There's brothers here that do this and do this well. There's brothers here that do this way better than I do. I want to grow in this, and I want us to consider. I think it's important to us as a brotherhood. You know, as I think of this building here, and I think about how God helped us to build it, and I praise God for it. It's God's building. And it's not something I want to have out of line in any way. It's a blessing. But each one of these decisions, the color of the carpet, the color of the paint, how everything was, the color of what and what, each one of these decisions every brother here had input in. And it actually drew us closer as a brotherhood. And I pray that somehow we can continue that. I pray that we can continue to build each other up. There's an enemy that wants to come between us. There really is. Interesting here. Something I want to say here. He begins a fight who strikes the second blow. That is true of tongue as well as a hand. We begin the fight when we do that. The second blow starts the fight. Okay, for some of the main texts of the message here today, I'd like first to turn to 1 John chapter 3, if you would. John has a lot to say, and we want to later get into some practical things if the Lord allows us to have time here as well. Let's start in verse 11, 1 John 3. "For this is the message that you have heard." On top here it says, "Love one another." "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slew him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and Cain's were righteous," is what he's saying, "and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Now that's an interesting statement that John makes here. John frequently says things like this. He says, "We know that we are of God," or "We know that we are in him. We know that we dwell in him. We know that he abideth in us." He says this more than any other writer. And here he says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." Well, that's an interesting statement. When you think about how much confidence is put in my new birth experience. And when you think of all the other things, think about these words that John is saying. We know that we have passed from death to life when we love our brethren. And this isn't just tolerating them on Sunday morning. This isn't just this isn't agape love. Maybe we'll talk about that later. It's deeper than we think. Can I say it that way? Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And sisters, this can be brother or sister here. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Indeed. John brings it right down to shoe leather. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. He says it again. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do these things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. These are amazing words. The word agape describes a tender love and affection. It's like between those born from the same womb. It's like a brother in the flesh is a good way to describe this agape love. These are amazing words. I feel the need to that we should expound on them more, especially in some of these scriptures here that talk about passing from death to life. That is quite a statement. I wonder how many of us could truly stand up here and say that we have the degree of love for our brethren that we can boldly testify that it is our love from the brothers that have given us assurance that we pass from death to life. It's a challenge to my heart, brothers. How many of us could stand up before God and say, God, I have so much love for my brothers that I know I have passed from death to life, or my sisters. May God help us. There's room in my life to grow in this way. May God help me. Now let's just get into some practical things here. How do I love my brother? And brothers and sisters, my heart today is to share some principles. Principles that help us in this way, but there's no way that someone can stand up here. I don't think it's possible that a human can stand up here and tell us in every way that we should love our brethren. But if we have some of these principles and our hearts right, it will go a long way in helping us do this. Put them first. Number one, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. There's that vainglory again we talked about. Vainglory. I have room to grow in this. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Breaking it down a bit, do nothing from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends. Think of those words. Do nothing through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the other as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Self-denial lives at the center of love. True love denies self and supports the other. Putting others first should be more than an act of humility, but an act of affection. I did want to say that I thank God. I do believe that the greeting line in the morning has brought us closer as brothers. And somehow I wish some of our sisters could somehow spend more time in prayer on Sunday mornings and also somehow have more of that greeting than we do. But I believe that it's brought us closer to each other. You know, and it gives us, it's an interesting opportunity for us. You know, as we're coming down this greeting line and we see every brother, we have an opportunity to check our heart. What am I feeling? Are there feelings about my brother, my heart, that are not right? Or is there something there? And if there is, it gives us the opportunity to make it right. Strengthen thy brethren. The next one here is seek their good. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "See that none of you repays another with evil for evil, but always aim to show kindness and seek to do good to one another and to everyone." Love does more than put someone else first. It literally seeks their better. It is concerned that they're doing better and prospering more than I am. That is amazing. But brothers, I believe it will lead us to maturity if we can learn to do this for one another. If we can learn to build each other up and be more concerned that my brother's prospering than I am myself. The next one I'd like to talk about a little bit here, number three, is work on being completely unselfish. You know, somehow in our carnal self, we have a battle. I have a battle with myself. I do at times. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. Leviticus has some scripture on that here as well. All too often, we're more concerned about ourselves than we are our brethren. May God help us to always treat our brother like we would like to be treated, and to have a thought of the golden rule. You know, if each, that would go so far in my relationship with each of my brothers. If I treated my brother exactly the way I would want to be treated, somehow I lose sight of that. But I think it fits here. If we treat everyone else all the time the way we would always want to be treated, it would change our relationships. It would change, it would build up our brothers, it would strengthen us. Listen to our brothers. Be quick to hear, James says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. A quick retort, and many times is not strengthening and building my brother. Love listens. Number five, include them. Be hospitable. Hospitality is the welcoming of others into our lives, into every area of our lives. 1 Peter 4:9 is a scripture there we could read. I'll turn there and read it. I'm not sure. It seems like we've had a little spell of not being as alert here today. If you all need to, we can stand again for a little bit. Why don't we, as I read the scripture? Let's read 1 Peter 4, 4:9. Then, it's a short scripture here. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Let's read verse 8 as well. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amazing instructions there. Number six is to be generous. You know, I'm not sure what it is, and I'm not sure what it is in our upbringing, especially in mine, but I just remember, I want this to be sanctified, not building, but I just remember as a young man, you know, Dad had a business, and he did well in business. He was doing okay. But I remember some of our Amish people, we were Amish at the time, I remember how many of them I would hear that would not come to our business, they would not buy anything from us, they wouldn't support us in any way. And as I look back, I think that there's just spite and there's envy and there's just there's so easy can there be things in our heart that we just don't want to see anyone do good. We don't want to see anyone prosper. And brothers, it's something we need to learn. But even if it's someone that's not part of the church, if it's someone that is doing well, it blesses my heart. What is in us that doesn't want to see someone do well? It is not right to not want to see someone do well. I would just say, I would want to say this in a godly way, but I've been concerned even amongst ourselves, brethren. We have, and I'm not talking about any of my family. I honestly am not. But we have brothers here that have businesses that don't feel the burden to support each other. And that bothers me. I'm not talking about chores, grocery, because some of you live a long ways away. I'm not talking about those things. But I think it is a barometer of our love for one another and our care and about how well we prosper. I want us to think about that. And I want us to examine our heart because it's happening amongst us. And it bothers me. It really does. I don't think it's right. Am I saying you have to go support your brother every time? That's not what I'm saying. But if we can so freely not pay any attention to him and how he's doing and go support him when we can, I think we're lacking. We're lacking in true love for our brother. I really do. As 2 Corinthians says, thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous, and your generosity as it is administered by us will bring forth thanksgiving to God. That was in the Amplified. I should have read that in the King James. That was probably in the Amplified version there. But put that down as a reference and look it up. It didn't really make a lot of sense the way I read it, maybe. But 2 Corinthians 9:11, you can look at it later. You can be seated if you want here again. I want to say that we all have the freedom to do what we want. But I think it can be something we want to consider. The different ways that we can build up our brother here, and we want to. I tell you the blessings that I have experienced from brothers that are prospering here. I don't know how to put it into words, but that's my heart. There's brothers that are prospering here spiritually. There's brothers here that are prospering in other ways, and that has been a blessing to my life. And I want us to continue to look at this principle and build on it. I need it in my life and all of us together. The seventh thing I want us to think about here is to judge your brother fairly. You know, brothers, I have to be honest. This is one of the big ones. You don't know how many times things are said and they're discerned wrong. They're judged wrong. It's unfair. Is it every time? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I believe, brothers, it is each one of our duty and our responsibility to make sure that we don't misjudge a brother unfairly. It is not right. And I'm not saying that to say that we can never, that we can't examine fruit. But I'm just saying this happens a lot. It really does. And I'm not talking about just the church here. I'm just saying this at large. There's judgments that are made. There's discerning things that are said that are just wrong. And then we say them to others and we build on those and we think they're right. But we've never asked our brother about it. Let's please take note the unfairness that God's people judge each other by, and it's wrong. You know, here a couple weeks ago, I talked about this parable about the talents. We have this man that had a debt, what was it, 60 or 80 million? There's no way he could pay it. And here he was forgiven for all of that, and he comes along, and he has someone that owes him $15, and he refuses to forgive that man his $15. And brothers, the message of that story is how how much mercy we can be shown and turn right around and how unmerciful we can be to our brother. We can do that in so many ways, and we do that when we judge our brother unfairly. That is, how can I expect to stand before God needing all of this mercy? How am I going to expect to get it from God when I can't turn around and have any mercy for my brother? It's not going to work that way, brothers. It's not going to work. I'm afraid that we're expecting to have all this mercy with God, but we're not showing it to our brother. And when we get there, we might not have as much mercy as we need because we didn't show it to others. May God help us. Examine yourselves. This scripture's out of line here. That scripture's not where I wanted it. But anyway. Refusing, number eight, refusing to harbor hatred for your brother in your heart. Refusing to harbor hatred for your brother in your heart. Do not do anything that could harm your brother. Hatred starts in the heart, but it comes out of the mouth, and it comes out with our actions. Sometimes it's disguised as concern, or it comes out as figured as love, but it can be hatred. Jesus says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Those are amazing words. May God help us to not allow feelings in our heart towards our brother. Ardent love. Fervent and ardent love for our brother. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Number 9 here. Fervent, ardent love. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Wow, those are amazing words. We cannot do this without God's help. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. This fervent is like ardent. It glows. It's like a hot, glowing, fervent love. It's amazing. We cannot have spite in our heart and have unfeigned love for the brethren. You know, when we try to pull one on all the brothers, and we try to pull a surprise on them and all these things, brothers, there's a heart that's not right. We cannot do that and have unfeigned love for the brothers. It's just not possible. Here's an account that I'd like to share that will lead us to the right kind of love for our brother. The title is "The Old Man and the Sea." I'm going to try to read loud and clear here so it makes sense here. After a few of the usual Sunday evening hymns, the church's pastor once again slowly stood up. He walked over to the pulpit and gave a brief introduction. This introduction was for his childhood friend who was with them. With that, an elderly man stepped up to the pulpit to speak. And this is the story he shared. He said, "A father and his son and a friend of his son," get that right, "a father, his son, and a friend of his son were sailing off of the Pacific coast," he began, "when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to the shore. The waves were so high that even though the father was an experienced sailor, he could not keep the boat upright, and the three were swept into the ocean. The old man hesitated for a moment, making eye contact with two teenagers who were, for the first time since the service began, looking somewhat interested in his story. He continued, "Grabbing a rescue line, the father had to make the most excruciating decision of his life, to which boy he would throw the other end of the line. He had only seconds to make the decision. The father knew that his son was a Christian, and he also knew that his son's friend was not. The agony of his decision could not be matched by the torrent of the waves. As the father yelled out, 'I love you, son,' he threw the line to his son's friend. By the time he pulled the friend back to the capsized boat, his son had disappeared beyond the raging swells into the black of night. His body was never recovered. By this time, the two teenagers were sitting straighter in their pew, waiting for the next words to come out of the old man's mouth. The father, he continued, knew his son would step into eternity with Jesus, and he could not bear the thought of his son's friend stepping into eternity without Jesus. Therefore, he sacrificed his son. How great is the love of God that he should do the same for us. With that, the old man turned and sat back down in his chair as silence filled the room. Within minutes after the service ended, the two teenagers were at the old man's side. "That was a nice story," politely stated one of the boys, "but I don't think it was very realistic for a father to give up his son's life in hopes that the other boy would become a Christian." The old man said, "Well, you've got a point there," the old man replied, glancing down at his worn Bible. A big smile broadened his narrow face, and he once again looked up at the boys and said, "It sure isn't very realistic, is it? But I'm standing here today to tell you that that story gives me a glimpse of what it must have been like for God to give up his son for me. You see, I was the son's friend." I think that's mature love. It's love that pulls at our heart. There's an old German proverb that says, "Those who love in the Lord never see each other for the last time." Those who love in the Lord will never be my words are failing me here. Yes, they'll never be separated. That's my heart for each one of us here, brothers. The last one I have on the practical side here, ways that we can build our brothers up and strengthen them is pray for them. James talks about praying for one another. If you love your brothers and sisters, pray for them. Love prays. It truly wants what's best for them in their life. We all need that, brothers and sisters. We need each other's prayers. Let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. Now, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "In the last days, perilous times shall come." And I think we can stand here and say, perilous times are here. And everything we can do to build each other up, may God help us do that. We need that, brothers and sisters. We all do. Strengthen our brethren. Strengthen our sisters. We can pray hard and long for spiritual growth. But when we stand there, we can fast and we can pray and we can seek God and we can want spiritual growth and knowledge and all these things. But if we're standing here trying to hold our brother down, and it's so easy to do this without realizing, but if we're standing here keeping our brothers from growing and trying to keep them down, brothers, we're not going to grow. God's not going to grant us any maturity. We're not going to grow as a church. We're not going to spiritually develop. There's no way that we can have in our heart, have envy, and have anything other than wanting to see our brother prosper and think that we ourselves are going to grow in the Lord. It's just not going to happen. We will stay immature in the faith. So, in closing here, I'd like to just open it up. I'd like to have a hymn of invitation. And if there's something in our hearts, may God help us. If the least is if we can open our hearts, and I know that this message seems so incomplete, but if we can at least open our hearts to the Lord and start seeking and desiring to build up our brother, to be concerned about him and what he's going through in life and how we can bless him and how we can help him prosper and how we can do these things. May God help us to do that. You know, the spirit of jealousy, if there's anything like that in our heart, I just again want to say that let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Vainglory is a branch of pride that makes men want to advance in their own private way. They want to be the preeminent one. And brothers, it can easily be in our hearts. They want to do what someone else is doing. It's easy for it to be in our heart and us not realize it's there. It's especially destructive and evil because it feeds on the good that is in my brother. It feeds on the good. Most other things feed on evil, but jealousy and envy feed on what is good in my brother's life. It feeds on the most excellent things in my brother's life. Do you think the scriptures say in vain that the spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy? That James is saying here in James 4, do you think that the Bible says in vain that carnal spirit that is within us, it's like it just craves to envy. It craves to envy. It's amazing how he says that. And I'd like to just close with this scripture here. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we all know how much mercy and love we need of God. And the only way we can have it from God is if we give it to our brother. There's a principle in the scripture that teaches us. That story is one of them. There's other scriptures we should go to. But if I can't forgive my brother, God cannot forgive me. Be also ye patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draws nigh. God's coming is drawing closer. We can see it with the times we're in and all that's happening. So, thank you. We deeply love each of you. We see many gifts and talents. We've been tremendously blessed by each of your lives. And we just pray that somehow God can continue to mature us together, that we can together stand these things that are going to come at us, because we're going to all need each other, brothers and sisters. So I would just like for you to feel free if you want to pray or whatever. I don't want there to be a lot of pressure, but feel free to, don't mind anyone that's here. You mind the Lord. If there's something in your heart that God's speaking to you, please just come forward and pray. Go ahead, Brother Zach, if you have a hymn.